Hey people, do you want to polish your watch like a professional? Well, today's episode is being sponsored by Cape Cod Polishing Cloth, the only cloth that cleans, polishes, and protects. To order your Cape Cod Polishing Cloth kit today, go to www.capecodpolish.com. In the kit, you get 6 metal polishing cloths, a buffing cloth, and a pair of reusable gloves. It's the best $20 you'll ever spend, and I know you'll be very happy with the results. We're also sponsored today by Retrospects at the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. If you want the coolest pair of sunglasses, email them at lasvegas@retrospects.com or visit them at www.retrospects.com to get a complimentary gift with purchase and free shipping for a limited time anywhere within the U.S. Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I interview new friend Steven. He's got a really interesting business where he designs and manufactures money. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, people? I'm with my friend Steven.
And
hello. Hey, Steven, what's going on, buddy?
Another day, another dollar.
Isn't that the truth? I met Steven actually at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel of Las Vegas at the bar. And normally I don't conduct interviews like this. Steven does something very unique, as do I. And I wanted to share that experience with you that I had because I just think it's so fascinating. It doesn't necessarily involve watches, but it does somewhat involve, you know, precious metal, if you will. And Steven has taken something that's so pedestrian and so boring, and he's made it really interesting. Steven, do you want to kind of tell the public what you do and how you came about this whole concept?
Sure. Well, the elevator speech I have for people when they ask me what I want to do is I design money, which sounds far-fetched, but it is. In a sense, what we do is we take precious metal, silver and gold, and turn it into a coin. And feature that on that coin, we feature licensed Hollywood properties.
Wow. How did you get that idea? Like, what was the impetus? Was it just like...
Yeah, well, I started in the business in 2008. And in 2008, I looked at the coin industry, and there were people doing products on coins, but it was things like cats.
So is this interesting as a stamp, basically? Or stamps were more interesting?
Stamps and coins are like cats and dogs.
Right.
That collect stamps, and there's people that collect coins, and they're two diametrically opposed people in most cases. But, you know, I looked at it, and the coin industry is really an interesting business, and there's a lot of money that transacts in the coin business that nobody really knows about.
Right.
So it's what I call a billion-dollar cottage industry. So we looked at that, and people were selling a lot of coins with cats on them. So the idea occurred to me that, well, if you can sell a lot of coins with cats on them, what would you do if you could put a major Hollywood property on it? And so we went and approached the people at Lucasfilm for Star Wars and acquired a license for Star Wars for collectible coins, and it was a huge success.
That's amazing.
So the rest is history.
Wow. And I'm sure that has spawned so many other partnerships.
Absolutely it has, yeah. We parlayed the money that we made off of Star Wars rolled that into a Marvel Comics license. Warner Brothers Consumer Products for Batman. We've recently acquired some other properties that are very high profile, and everyone has been very successful.
I wish you continued success.
No, thank you.
You deserve it. And I just saw the product, and it's amazing. And what's even more amazing is that I know that you do a lot of different work for a major Hollywood studio. That, you know, packaging wise. So you've taken that as well and incorporated it into your product, which is very unique as well.
We look at things and we want to give people the total experience. You know, there's a lot of other people out there selling coins.
Right.
And currently there's a fair amount of competition amongst licensed properties on coins. But what we try to do is when people get a product from us and they open it up, we want them to have that wow experience. So we go over the top with our packaging. We try to give them a whole lot more than what they're expecting, which is just a coin. So we, when we ship them something, we want to make sure they get a lot of stuff.
Right. Right. But it's not cheap, useless stuff.
No, it's all relevant. It's all stuff that resonate with people. So
it's not like you get glow in the dark like condoms from Star Wars.
Well, actually, there's a fair market in glow in the dark coins.
Is there?
Yeah, actually, there is.
Wow.
But the coin is one aspect of the whole thing. And at the end of the day, that's the product that people are buying. But if you can get a coin that comes in a really cool package, that comes with a certificate of authenticity that's sort of out of the ordinary, and maybe a couple other extra ancillary items, it's a home run every time.
Well, then that becomes, in essence, it becomes like its own currency. It really has a value,
truly,
or a perceived value.
Truly, yeah. All of those items add to a high perceived value. And that's part of the picture. The other thing that we try to do is, the coin industry is sort of a staid, I don't want to say stick in the mud, because there is actually a fair amount of innovation that's occurred in the last few years in the coin industry. But most coin collectors are older guys.
Right.
And there's not a lot of young, fresh blood coming into the coin collecting community. So what we try to do, in addition to really nifty packaging, is draw in that new customer. And how do you do that? I don't know. In 2015, the best example I can give you is our 75th anniversary of Batman coin.
Yeah.
Is we included an augmented reality experience alongside that coin,
which I've seen and it's mind blowing.
Yeah, it's the first coin ever that introduced a 3D augmented reality experience, which you can launch from any Google Play device, so an Android phone or an Apple iPhone, and it's unique in the industry, and the feedback on it's been phenomenal.
You get this amazing 3D imagery around the coin, related to Batman and all that it encompasses, that sort of superhero, but in a very modern, cool sort of way. And I'm sure this will lend itself to gaming at some point and other sort of things, because
oddly enough, some of the when you launch an app on the Apple Store or in Google Play, there's a there's always feedback from customers.
Sure.
And of course, this is the first app we've ever done, first time it's ever been done from a coin, so I was glued to the comments for the first month going through this to see what the feedback was from customers.
Sure.
You could easily tell that there were a lot of kids that were going and downloading this app and finding out that hey, this isn't a game. I had to go back in and post comments of, this is an experience designed around a coin.
Yeah.
It really only works if you have the coin. It's not a video game. It's not intended to be a video game. It's something to augment the whole purchase experience.
To bring the experience sort of further, yeah. But so, these are the geeks and the nerds that,
I get it. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
So I understand.
But it actually gave you food for thought for maybe doing something in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To extend that. Huh. So I guess you kind of need these guys, right? Because they're the most critical.
You have no idea the anxiety around launching this application was, if it isn't right, if it doesn't work, if it isn't perfect, we're going to get blown up and torn to shreds. So, when we worked with our development team, that was cause number one. Like, this thing has to rock.
That's
if
amazing.
It doesn't rock, we're going to get killed and it'll never happen again. But the good news is
it was successful,
it was
and well received
for the consumer.
And now, moving forward, I think we discussed this last night, that, most of the stuff that you're doing is, like you said, with Hollywood sort of franchises or with licensing of major Hollywood sort of stuff. And I guess that's the stuff that translates worldwide. Would you be open to doing that in other countries as well?
Oh, well, our product's sold around the world. So
no, meaning like would you do something that was hot in another country?
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely. We're open to any kind of ideas. And actually, it's harder and harder to find the next big thing.
Sure.
As anybody in any industry knows, you're successful at the beginning. People come in and try to copy you. It's harder and harder to find the next big thing.
Because it gets diluted after a while. Yeah, I totally
does.
Understand. Yeah. Now, where are the coins made? Are they made
Coins are made in the U.S.
That's great.
Yeah, so coins are all struck in the U.S. They're all, the dies that are used to strike the coins are all made in the U.S.
That's great. It's an American-made product.
Yep.
And the packaging, you know, I mean, I've seen the packaging, and it's really, really nice. It's not at all, you didn't cut any corners, and it's visually beautiful. Every way.
The packaging is a labor of love for everything that we do. It's what we're about. We do a lot of packaging outside of the collectible industry for a lot of other really diverse products.
Sure.
And it's just something we're good at and something we enjoy doing, and it's fun.
That's awesome. I actually, you know, when you brought this up to me, possibly in the future about maybe collaborating on something, that really spun my tires in a way, because it's so cool. It's like that's you're translating into a market that's already established and that will buy anything.
Well, but if you have a cool product and you can create packaging that supports that product, it just increases the perceived value to the next level. It's fun to build, and when a customer gets it in their hand, they can hold it, look at it, read about it, learn about it. It's really good.
It must be a great,
really
feeling.
Great experience.
Great
for me, yes, of course, because you know I'm involved in it. But it's good to see people get what you're doing.
Have you ever had any like, you know, freaky, unusual, geeky experiences where they realize that you're the creator of this kind of thing? Because I know in that world, it can get intense.
Yeah, no, well, we try to fly under the radar. I mean, we have a lot of business relationships with other marketing firms.
Sure.
And we're totally comfortable with them going out and selling. And
doing everything.
Representing the product. I like just the creative part of it. Don't get me wrong, I have a big ego, but it's not so big that
you
I
have to
just,
be
I don't
on
have
the
to
box.
Be, no,
or,
I don't like
yeah.
to be on stage so much. I did that before in the past. I don't need to do it now.
So take me through your sort of career, like before you got to this point in 2008. Where were you before this? Like what led up to this point?
Yeah, that's a pretty diverse story. So
give me the cliff notes, buddy.
Well, here's the cliff notes. I'll only go back so far.
Sure.
In 1997. Which is, you know, odd that I can remember that year, but it's true. It was sort of right at the beginning of the internet, really, as a viable format or whatever you want to call it. And I looked at it, and I looked at everybody that was doing business online, and everything was really kind of a glorified mail order service.
Yep.
And you would go in, you would fill out your form, I want to buy this. And they would mail it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and said, well, the real power of the internet lies in being able to deliver a product to somebody's desktop.
Absolutely.
Immediately. So I looked at, well, what could you do that with? And the obvious answer is software, computer software.
Yep.
But I'm not a computer guy, really. I'm more of a creative side guy.
Leave that to my people.
I'm more of a creative side guy.
Right.
And looked at it and said, well, what can you do? And the immediate answer was imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, people were delivering photos to people. I'm talking about stock photography. Really,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, I had run an in-house ad agency for about the previous 10 years. And everybody that worked for me was... that was a creative, was always kind of a goofy, kind of twisted person, and I looked at these stock images that were available from people, and they were big companies. And this is right when Getty Images was just starting out. And I was in Seattle at the time, which is was home of Getty Images. And decided, you know, what if you could serve up really goofy, fun, wacky stuff? So almost coincidentally, I met up with a guy who had the largest collection of pulp sci-fi magazines west of Mississippi. And we were talking about pulp magazines. These are these really...
like 60s?
No. These go back into the 40s and
oh, really?
50s.
Like they're the early pulp stuff.
Yeah, they were printed on pulp paper. They're usually... were meant to be thrown away, the cheapest paper you could possibly do. But they always had these really scandalous covers of, you know, bikini-clad women who had space helmets on and weird monsters attacking them. They were just totally cool. And so after a lot of research on who owned the rights to these, discovered that they were, for all practical purposes, public domain.
Really?
So arranged a deal with this guy where we scanned all these covers, spent hours and hours and hours and hours retouching all these things to get them to...
Crisp
quality. And created what was one of the very first sites that you could go to, pick an image, choose what kind of resolution, what size you wanted it, buy it, and it was delivered to your desktop immediately. That was in 1997.
That's amazing.
Well, it's the first, you know, it's crazy when you talk about it now because there's thousands of people doing it. But.
Well, the reason it's amazing is because at that time, I was taking pulp images because I used to buy early pulp books from that time period.
Right.
I used to scan them, and then I used to touch them up myself. And I used to replicate them and put them on light switch cover plates
right.
and polyurethane them and
right.
sell them. And I remember, like, Veronica Lake and all of
yeah,
these
sure.
incredible imagery that's Americana, that's pop culture,
yeah,
that
awesome
had been
stuff.
Forgotten. And
yeah.
I was doing it exactly the same time
yeah.
you were doing it.
Huh. That's crazy.
So, and I would do clocks. I would do lamps.
Yeah, well, so I had this business. It was a little business that I did for longer than I care to admit. Finally sold it to a guy and then went into something that was totally different, which was making catalogs, which for a company in the consumer electronics industry. That was kind of a meat grinder, so got out of that and got into coins and had no idea what I was getting into. And then suddenly it was very clear that it was this business that nobody really knew about, but did a remarkable amount of business.
And there's no end to it because, you know, just because you could be big in, obviously everybody wants to be in America, right? If you're big in America, you're a success.
True.
Right? That's the perceived notion, whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's fashion, whatever it is that you may be doing.
Right.
But what's amazing is that this model that you have for coins translates into any market because you have a country like India that has 1 billion people.
Mm.
Okay? If they buy, their potential to buy, they have the biggest middle class in the world, is bigger than America. Right? So in a way, it's like these markets are never ending. You could find an iconic image from one country or an iconic
yeah,
thing
absolutely.
And
yeah.
just replicate that if that's what you want to do.
Coins are crazy. They translate across all borders. People generally look at them as the precious metal content.
Right.
But if, you know, the real trick, which looks easy on paper, is to find a property that resonates with people around the world.
Right.
And there's not a lot of those out there.
Right.
I'm happy to say that we have 3 of the 4 biggest licenses in the world.
It's huge.
We just added another one, which is it's an older piece with peanuts, but I think is a giant, giant,
massive
thing. They have a new movie coming out this fall. They've spent $110 million producing this movie. I think it's even if the movie is only mediocre, the publicity around it
is going
to be huge, and it just hits the sweet spot with our target demographic.
Well, congratulations, Stephen. I wish you a lot of success. I hope we get to work together in some capacity.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
And good for you, man. You're doing something truly innovative. And for all of those of you out there, is there a way that people can access your coins or get to look at these images?
Well, it's funny. We don't do any retail sales, but we have a very, very strong relationship with New Zealand Mint.
Okay.
Which is just what it sounds, newzealandmint.com.
Okay.
You can find a lot of almost every one of our products through them.
Well, you heard it from Stephen. Go to newzealandmint.com to check out all the latest things that Stephen is doing. And it's truly innovative and genius. And thank you for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, there we have it, folks. That was my one-on-one episode with a new friend, Stephen, who has this incredible business where he makes money. And you heard it from him. It's very interesting working with different Hollywood franchises and putting iconic images on coins and making it fun and interactive with modern technology, with Batman, with Star Wars, and recently with Peanuts coming up, the new Peanuts movie. Again, you can check out his stuff at newzealandmint.com. So thank you very much, Stephen, for the opportunity. I'd also like to thank my sponsor, Cape Cod Polish and Cloth. There's nothing to think about. If you want to polish your watch like a professional for under $20, go to www.capecodpolish.com. Order your Cape Cod Polish and Cloth kit today. In the kit, you get 6 metal polishing cloths, a buffing cloth, and a pair of reusable gloves. Best $20 you'll ever spend, and I guarantee you'll love the results. I'd also love to thank Retrospects at the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. If you want the coolest, hippest, and most original pair of sunglasses, definitely email them at lasvegas@retrospects.com or visit their website at www.retrospects.com to get a complimentary gift with purchase and free shipping anywhere in the U.S. for a limited time. If you want to know what's going on with me in the watch industry, please check out my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. You can email me with questions at amitdevhonda@gmail.com. If you want to check me out on my Instagram and my Twitter, my handles for both are at @AmitDevHonda. You can please don't forget to like my Facebook watch page. It's loaded with information on the industry and what I'm up to. And if you want to stay informed without being committed on a daily basis, I'm going to throw the link below. There, please sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's free. It's a one-and-done process. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.